From prisons to schools to hospitals, places that care for a lot of people have had to change a lot of their operations in order to combat the spread of COVID-19. Lake Effect contributor Bruce Campbell is a head and cancer surgeon at Frederick Hospital and the Medical College of Wisconsin. He shares his essay, Waiting for Coronavirus.
My patient needs to be admitted to the hospital now. He has been recovering steadily from the throat cancer surgery I performed a month ago, but then he started intermittently bleeding. The bleeding continued and worsened over the last couple of days. He drives in from out of town and shows me photos of what he has coughed up. It's bright red. Oh no, I think. That looks arterial. There is a real possibility that this might suddenly become dangerous, I tell him. We need to admit you to the hospital today, right now. We have to stop the bleeding before it gets worse. I don't want you to drive home. But doc, he replies, what about the virus? I don't want to be in a place where there might be coronavirus. I had cancer. I'm sure my immune system is shot. Isn't there another way? He and I have both been watching the news. Only a few cases of coronavirus have been reported in Wisconsin thus far, but pandemics overwhelm entire countries in the matter of days. Experts warn that we are in the front edge of a massive crisis. I have been reviewing my upcoming schedules with the office staff just before he came. We canceled all of my elective surgery and moved all of my routine clinic visits into the fall. Everyone is preparing for the worst. He is right to be anxious. I hear your concerns about the virus, I say, but we will do everything possible to protect you while you're here, and I promise to get you home as soon as possible. I know he needs the bleeding controlled, but I can never know with absolute certainty if the benefits of admitting him to the hospital outweigh the possible risk of an infection while he's here. After more conversation, he relents and is soon on his way to a room. I type up my note and head back to my office. As I walk down the quiet, deserted hallway, I shudder, recognizing that same unsettled churning in my gut I had during those early days of the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Back then, there was no reliable HIV testing. There was only a rudimentary understanding of disease transmission and no effective treatments. AIDS cases increased rapidly and people died. There was no end in sight. As a young trainee, I wore protective gowns and masks and gloves whenever I evaluated or tended to one of these shivering, emaciated AIDS victims. We read reports of the healthcare workers at other hospitals who contracted and died of AIDS after puncture wounds. One day in 1986, I plunged a needle deep into my thumb while operating on an HIV-positive patient. As the blood collected under my glove, I was terrified that I would be dead in a few months. I had a blood test to check my T-cell ratios. The doctor told me it was a suture needle and not a hollow needle, so that your risk isn't nearly as high. But come back in a month and we'll see if your counts have dropped. For 4 weeks, I feared I would leave behind my young family just as my career was supposed to be getting started. I was fortunate, but the memory that sticks with me from those days is the dread uncertainty. It is indelible. My patient undergoes successful treatment for the broken blood vessel. He does very well, has no more bleeding, and is soon ready for discharge. No fevers, no complications. Nothing bad happened. Thanks, doc, he says. I'm really glad to be going home. We bump elbows. He laughs. It's the new normal. Keep me posted, I say. I assume he will be fine now. But of course, I realize I really don't know that with absolute certainty. Scientists much smarter than I will eventually understand the COVID-19 coronavirus, just as smart people eventually discern the properties and treatments for the plague, cholera, influenza, polio, HIV, SARS, and Ebola after they first appeared. Each pandemic left its mark. I am certain that the caregivers who stood near each victim also experienced that gnawing uncertainty and wondered at some point what would happen to this patient and what possibly might happen to me. Here we go again. All we can do is be present, follow the guidelines, and hope that we do the right thing for this patient in this place, at this moment, because the storm is coming, and it might change everything once again.
Lake Effect essayist Bruce Campbell is a head and cancer surgeon at Frederick Hospital and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Many of his essays appear on his blog, Reflections in a Head Mirror.